I just am feeling to just keep on going. We're going to have a great time of fellowship just here in a moment. But we're going to be celebrating over food and just being with one another as God's family. And that's going to be a beautiful thing. But as we are in the presence of God, and we will continue in that moment to be in the presence of God, I feel it's important for us now to open His Word. And so as we go into this time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, I invite you to open your Bibles. Whether it be a digital iPhone app, Android app, or an actual book, open with me, particularly this morning, to John chapter 15, which is where we will be highlighting this morning as we continue the journey that we've been on for the better part of a year, learning about the various spiritual disciplines and how to obtain them and how to grow in them as God's people, because the spiritual disciplines have been given to us by God so that we can grow together in His presence, that we can grow in relationship with Him, because that is what the life of faith is all about, to receive once again what was lost. Receive once again what was lost from the fall, and that was a relationship with God, the author and giver of all life. And we've explored various disciplines already. We've talked about contemplation and meditation, prayer, fasting and abstaining, silence and solitude. And here lately, we've been talking about study. The study of God's Word. And we've spent time talking about what is the study of God's Word and how it's not just reading, it's so much more than reading. It's transformational in our lives. Because the Word of God does exactly what God intends for it to do. And the Word of God, by the Word, is told to us that this is what it is in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the work of God in and through the study of His Word, and that is transformation. Why is it we study? We study so that we can be transformed, that we can be no longer conformed to this world and the patterns of this world, as Paul says in Romans, but to be transformed through the renewal of our mind. Bringing us to John 15. And we're going to be reading the first 11 verses. And if you happen to not have a Bible with you, this text will be on the screen. Jesus says these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Excuse me. "If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." In that just that quick reading of this passage, there's something that really sticks out to me. And it keeps sticking out to me, and it's the word abide. Abiding. And how important it is to abide. Now, that's not a word we use often in our culture. We don't normally go around saying, well, you should abide there. You should abide with this. We don't use that word. We use other words like stay. You should stay there. Be there. You should dwell there. And that is what it means to abide. It means to dwell. It means to be. It means to stay. And Jesus provides us this perfect picture of a vine and branches. He says that he is the vine, we are the branches. And we all know, living in the Central Valley, that if you cut a branch off an orange tree, it dies. It withers. We know good and well, just like they knew good and well what he was talking about. You know, even with all the grapes we have around here, you cut a grapevine, the branch of a grapevine off, the branch dies and withers. And it's good for nothing except for to be burned in the fire. Jesus gives us this whole illustration, this beautiful illustration of why it's important that we continue to abide. Not that we just abide for a little while and then we don't abide. And then when we need to abide a little more, we will. Okay, I'm starting to wither now, so I'm going to get back into you, Jesus. I'm going to get back into you, Jesus, because that is not what the life of faith is about. It's not about dipping in and dipping out, dipping in and dipping out. But it's about dwelling. Dwelling and abiding in the Lord in all things, in all ways. That when you just stop and rest, take that deep breath and just be still and know he is God. This is key to study. It is a key to study. When we talk about how to study, we must learn to be people who abide, who stay, and who dwell. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to bear more fruit. There's only one way to do that. Jesus explains this. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. Nothing. I'm sure we could do something. No, Jesus says we can do nothing. Nothing of eternal worth, nothing of eternal value will ever come from our lives unless we learn to abide. Such a great practical and reality that we truly live with. A deep spiritual meaning, especially when we look into verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. You know, Jesus is very on point here, and he's being very direct. And we should abide in his word long enough to feel that direction, because he's speaking to us. He's telling us the importance of what it is to be in him. And the consequences of life, if we would choose to live it without him, that we would be people who would dwell. We would be people who would stay. We would be a people who would abide in his presence. That even during the busyness and chaos of life, that we would stop and just be like, God, I know you are near. Help me become more aware of your presence. Help me to receive that beautiful goodness. Help me just be still and to know that you are God. Because I don't want to be a branch that withers and that's tossed away into the fire. I want to be a branch that you prune. And boy, pruning, that's an interesting thing, is it not? Some of us know a lot about pruning. It's when you cut back a branch, when you cut back something that doesn't belong on a branch, a diseased part of a plant, or a part that's not bearing that much fruit, or a part that's bearing fruit and you want it to bear more fruit. You cut it back so that more nutrients, more of the things needed to bear fruit will produce on that branch. And let me tell you, I'm sure if trees could talk, you'd hear a lot of screaming whenever they were pruning these trees out here. It hurts. You're having something cut off of you. You're having something cut out of you. And that is what Jesus wants to do in all of our lives. He wants to cut off and cut out of us everything that doesn't belong. He wants to prune us back so that we would no longer walk in the flesh, but we would turn and walk in the Spirit of God, and that we would produce that wonderful fruit that we were intended to produce. This all happens through abiding, though. It's something that we must learn to do, to abide. And this is a daily choice we must make and commit to so we can fully receive the wonderful promise that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Understanding this is not a blank check Jesus is giving us, but that when we would abide with him, when we would stay and dwell with him, our hearts will be changed. Our desire will be changed. It'll be changed to his. We will begin to develop the heart of Christ and receive the desires of Christ. And as our hearts are changed, they're also broken. They're broken for the things of Jesus that he laments over. We then begin lamenting over too. And in that, when we ask in his will. We ask in the purpose that he's already given. And in this, he answers just the way we expect him to, for his will to come and his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. By this, the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Joy, something that's not like happiness. As a conversation I had earlier today with someone, I don't want someone to be happy. I want them to be joyful. Because happiness is fleeting. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Joy is something else. Joy is something that when we have joy, 5 seconds of a bad moment's not going to ruin your day. Because you know you have joy. You have peace, everlasting peace, and that you can rest in your joy. Even when bad things happen around you and to you, you can rest in the knowing of the joy that you have with Jesus. There is no life found outside of abiding. And God has given us all of these spiritual disciplines to abide. He's given us his word so that we could study and abide with him. Because we are meant to be dwellers, not dippers. And this is an illustration I've heard quite a few times. And, you know, I've heard quite a few times here recently. The difference between being a dweller and a dipper. Did you know there's two kinds of tea drinkers and tea preparers in this world? That's what I've come to discover. There are those who dip out, in and out. I'm a tea dipper. That's just how I do it. And then afterwards, if you want to get really fancy, you wrap the tea bag around a spoon and you squeeze out all the water and everything back into the teacup. And, you know, you just wait for it to just get just right. And then you're ready to drink your tea or coffee here. You see, many of us treat the life of faith like a dipper. We dip in when we need something. We dip out when we're satisfied. We dip back in because we're like, oh, I need something. And then when it becomes inconvenient, we reconform to the world again. But then we just come right back and dip right back in. That is not what we're called to. And there is the other kind of tea drinker, and my wife is this kind of tea drinker, the dweller. You just drop the bag in and you let it sit. You let it dwell. And then even if you're just, I don't know how she does it. You drink it while the bag is still in the tea. She even has a tea thing that where you have all the tea right here, but when you drink it, the water goes right back through the tea. And I'm like, isn't it too strong that way? And she's like, exactly, isn't that the point? And isn't that the point of our life of faith? That we would dwell so much that our tea would be too strong. That we would be dwellers, abiding with Him always. Because the call to abide is not just a moment of time, but it is a lifelong pursuit of seeking to be in His presence. Unless you want to be a half-brewed Christian. Something that Jesus mentions in another way in Revelation 3:15 through 16 when He speaks to the church of Laodicea. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. There is no halfway with Jesus. It's all or nothing. We are called to abide, to dwell, and be saturated with Christ in every aspect of our lives. And the disciplines are a means by which He's given us to abide. His Word and the study of His Word is a way that we can abide, which is a critical step on how we truly study God's Word. We abide with it. Your walk with Christ can never be halfway. If you want to be a branch that produces good fruit, your walk with Christ can't be halfway. Bringing us to the first practical step then of how we do this, how we go all in with His Word, how it is that we truly abide and study His Word. The first step is you got to do something. If you do nothing, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. The best advice I could give you is to do something. Do anything. Because this cannot be outsourced, as we talked about with all the disciplines. You can't have someone do it for you. No one can do this for you. You have to do it, and you have to do something. Anything. In recent weeks, we've provided two resources. Resources to help you begin to do something. The first one was the Lectio Divina, and the other one was that fun acronym, SOAP. Copies of the Lectio Divina are on the usher stands if you'd like to pick one up on your way out. You can also scan the QR code on the back of your Going Deeper pages, and it'll take you to the website, our website, that has a link to actually have it for yourself and print it for yourself. The Lectio Divina, an excellent tool designed for us to live a life of study that abides. That doesn't just read, but takes time to dig into the Word deeply so that we would be that blessed man as spoken of in Psalm 1, 1 through 2, where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This particular tool helps us achieve and experience all this blessedness. When you first start by reading, you just take time and read, and just like with this John passage, abide, abide, abide with me. And just let that sink in. And then you relish in what you have read. You take time to give thanks to God for His Word. Lord, there's a beautiful promise here that if I would learn to abide in You, I could have this beautiful promise. Lord, I pray that You would help me find this promise more in my life. And that's when you reread and you reread and you don't rush this. You take your time. You just take your time with God and His Word. You spend time with God knowing that you are in His presence and that you are abiding in His presence. After this, you respond. You pray that prayer of response, Lord. What is it that You want me to do with this, God? I know there's something here that You're telling me. Please, Lord, show me. Reveal to me your will in my life through your word. And after you respond, you resolve. Or rest. You rest first. Rest with it. Let it wash over you like an ocean wave. Rest and then resolve. Understanding, you got to keep doing something. That if God has directed you through his word and through your study of his word, if God is eliciting a change in your life or a change in general, that you resolve to do it and to keep on doing it. Unless we want to be like that man in James, that James speaks about in James 1, 22 through 25. Another verse we've looked at quite a bit during this time of studying what it means to study. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It's so important that we not only resolve, but we do. We act. As God reveals himself to us through his word, as God transforms our life, we allow ourselves to be transformed, and we change. We change our very nature to be more and more like him. And then there was the easier acronym we gave, the SOAP, which is simply starts with Scripture. The S is for Scripture. To read the Bible, to reread, to reread, to reread, to keep reading. There's no amount of times. It's just you just keep on doing it. You pour over the Scripture and you let, once again, the Scripture to just wash over you like the waves of the ocean. And then when you're kind of like, okay, I think I get it, you pick up a different translation and you read it there. And then pick up another one. A really great tool and helpful for this is an interlinear Bible. Does anybody know what that is? What's an interlinear Bible, Lee? Yeah, that would be a Greek Hebrew interlinear, but they also make some with different translations, where you'll have ESV, NIV, you name the translation, it could be in there. And there's something powerful when you look at other English translations, because sometimes the translators will use, it means the same thing, but they'll use a different word, and it will just open your eyes to, oh, well, this says this, and that says this, and it's the same concept, but that word just, it really will pop out to you more. And so using an interlinear, or you could go online, they have these online, BibleGateway.com will allow you to compare different English translations together. After Scripture, you then observe. You ask questions. You seek to ask questions. You observe and think and dig deeper into the text. Just like I talked about last week, there are many commentaries, many study guides out there to help you in that process. But be careful. False teachers do abound. And the moment that something contradicts what this word says, put it down. For it's not leading you to life. It's not leading you to abide in Christ. It's leading you to abide in something else. And we seek to abide in Christ. But there are many great resources out there, and if you want help finding some, just ask, and I'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction. There is then A, application. What is it that God's calling you to do about it? Just like the Lectio Divina, what is it that you're called to respond to? What is it that you have to resolve to do? And once again, the asking, God, show me, which leads us to that final part, prayer. Prayer is part of the whole process. You can't study the Word of God without prayer, which allows us then to understand what else we need to do if we truly want to become people who study God's Word. You got to do it. You got to do something. But then you must apply the other disciplines, the other holy habits of the faith. They all come together. They're not all individually boxed in different compartments that you can only take out one at a time here and there. And so when you're done with this one, you put it back away and then you go get a different one. They're not like your toys, kids, that we tell you, you've got to put them away before you pull out another toy. No, they're meant to be played with together. They're meant to be done together. Whether it be prayer and study, contemplation and study, silence and solitude and study, we're meant to put it all together. Silence and solitude, especially when it comes to study. I can't tell you how important it is to find that place of privacy, that place of silence, to open the Word and to allow it to wash over you, to read it, to reread it, to pray in and through it. Lord Jesus, what does it mean to abide in you? I want to abide in you because I want to be a branch that bears much fruit. Show me how I can abide in you more. And to just rest in that thought. To rest in that thought and contemplate more of what it means to abide. Where in my life have I been abiding in you? Where have I not been abiding in you, Lord Jesus? Apply those other disciplines, contemplation, prayer, silence, solitude, fasting even. Because this is something that we do to fill our lives with Christ. The whole idea of fasting is we take off the things of this world and we put on the things of Jesus. We deny our body for the sake of growing in Christ. And what we do to that, we study. The disciplines are meant to be practiced together, not just singular, but we practice them all together as we grow in each of the holy habits. And understanding that we're not always going to get it right. We're going to mess up, and that's okay. But we keep on keeping on. We keep on going, and we seek to abide. This requires preparation and intentionality. Preparation and intentionality are key here, just like the other disciplines. You have to set aside that place. You have to find that time and make that time to just simply be still and know that He is God, and to open His Word and to not rush through it. I can't encourage you enough. Be intentional. If you're not intentional, it's not going to happen. Leading us to the final thing that's very critical on how we learn to study and how we actually do this. And that is that we stay, we abide, we dwell. We don't dip in and dip out. No, we dwell there. And we let God to brew something strong inside of us and through us. It is when we're willing to do something, to apply the other holy habits of the faith and prepare ourselves in being intentional to study God's Word, and we don't just rush it. We sit and we dwell with it. We take our time with it. We don't care what's on our calendars. We set that aside. We turn the phones off. If you use your phone to study God's Word, I highly suggest to find whatever it is you use on your phone in book form and to set it aside. I also suggest don't do it out in the foyer because the ice makers crashes and clinks and bleeps and beeps are going to definitely distract you. We live in a world of distractions. But when you can truly find yourself in that place where you can be still and know that He is God, you can find that abiding comes all the easier. And when you do this, as verse 7 through 10 says of John 15, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in His love. How will you seek to abide in God's Word this week? What's the thing He's calling you to do? How are you going to continue to grow in the other disciplines that we've discussed so that you can further grow in your study of the Word? Because the study of the Word without the other disciplines is just simply reading. It's the other disciplines that allows us to truly dig into study. They build up to one another and build off of one another. They're all connected and meant to be used in harmony with one another. What is the thing that God is calling you to do today? Will you use one of the tools? It's okay if you don't. Search for another tool. What are you going to do to be a dweller in God's presence today? Because when it comes to growing in a life of faith, you can't dip and dip and dip and dip. You have to learn to dwell. Now, when it comes to making tea, you totally dip. That's the way to do it. Jeanette thinks I'm crazy. I think she's crazy. You dip for tea. I mean, you don't want it to be too strong, do you? But that's definitely what we want from our life of faith. We want to be strong. We want to be brewed to a point that we do bear that wonderful and great fruit. So I beg you, as your pastor, to be dwellers and not dippers. Study the Word of God. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.